I am classically trained as an actor, so I did do voice training. The only thing I can say is I am your father. So I mean, I'll try. Let me.
Okay.
I am your father.
I think it's really important to casually date.
No, I never went by 20 for life.
I knew that that was a horrible show.
So this is when it's exclusive.
And we're live. Miss Lebogang, Dumela.
Dumelang. Or as I say on my YouTube, Dumelang.
The second statement I tried to learn, I think is pronounced Otsokile Jong.
Okay, so you're first going to have to break down to me what exactly it is that you're trying to say.
Just say Ojuang. Just say Ojuang.
Let me tell you something. Google will teach you to not go to Google. I tried to translate a whole English essay into Afrikaans. And let me tell you something, it showed me. So never, don't rely on that thing.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. It's truly an honor to have you on the show.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. And something very remarkable about you is the enthusiasm and energy you maintain with everything going on in your life. You continue to push these boundaries with your acting, your YouTube channel, and your work with Reebok.
You have to. There's no time to be stopping at stop signs. There's no time for that. You just have to go fully in. I fully believe that if you want something, you need to go and get it. And in all aspects of my life, the way someone does one thing is the way they do everything. So it's the same kind of enthusiasm that I have in my acting passion is the same kind of enthusiasm that I'd have to have in every like venture that I go into, because that's the only way.
And with all the things that you do, you also have a very unique speaking voice. And I could imagine that that helps with acting too.
Thank you for my unique speaking voice, as you say. I don't know if it's a compliment. I'll take it as a compliment.
It is. You sound very media trained.
Ooh, I mean, I am like classically trained as an actor. So I did do voice training.
Now you have to give us a voice. You've already told us your secret.
People will be like, yeah, I sing. And then after, someone will be like, okay, please sing for me. Oh my gosh.
The secret's already out. Just one voice.
You are killing me. You see, usually I have to, you know, I can do Darth Vader. The only thing I can say is I am your father. So, I mean, I'll try. Let me.
Okay.
I am your father.
It was really bad, but... Well, yeah, you know, that's me for now. Darth Vader is the best for me right now.
We aren't even halfway through, and this has to be my favorite podcast.
Because you're putting me on the spot and you're embarrassing me. That's why it's your favorite. No, the best that they're going to hear is Darth Vader. And the rest, they're going to have to cut a check. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I did train. I trained in voice acting, in stage acting, in camera acting, different genres and types of acting as well. So yeah, so I think it comes from, I guess.
And that leads me to ask, what did you major in with university? Was acting always the dream?
Ooh. So yeah, acting has always been the dream. It's actually funny, it was either acting or going into music, but that like died after I turned 10 because I was like, you know what, I can sing, I can hold a note, great, but I can't sing. I do musical theater. So then I was like, okay, cool. So you know, I'm not gonna be releasing an album. What I'm gonna do is that I'm gonna sing on stage rather. You know, I found out there was this thing called musical theater, and my first experience with musical theater was when I was 9. I got to started my first like professional play, which was huge for a 9-year-old, because I was like, no more school plays, now I'm doing it on the big stage. So I got to do that, and I think initially, obviously, my parents got me into that because I mean, I had all this energy and I loved like performing and all of that. They were like, okay, cool, let's channel this into something. So that's when they put me into that. I went into forward audition, I got the role, I got into that, and it was Winnie the Pooh at the Joburg Civic Theater. And I was Roo. So there was a lot of musical theater in that as well. So at 9, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I knew whatever I was doing then and there, I wanted to do that forever. Obviously, I mean, I didn't know what it was called. I didn't know, you know, I just wanted to perform. I grew up very hyperactive and like I've always like, you know, been all over the place. And I think performance and stage is the only thing that's ever grounded me and found me really just being in that space, and it consumed all of me so much so that I never wanted to end. So I think I've always like chased that. It's like a feeling of like being home when I'm like performing. So there's that. And then I was like, okay, cool. You know, did that, and then was acting in school plays and did that. And then now it was time for me to decide, okay, cool, what am I going to go study? And my drama teacher was like, let me tell you something. It's not a matter of what you're going to study. It's where you're going to study it, because we know you're going to go study drama. We're just going to figure out where you're going to study it. And I was like, amen, hallelujah. My mom was like, because I mean, I'd shown a little bit of interest in as little of law that I knew about in high school, because you don't really know much about it. You just say, that sounds nice. But yeah, so I think I was like, I could do that. I could do that. So I mean, I applied for drama and for law at WITS and at UCT, got in for both. And then I was like, oh my gosh. But the acting part of it, I had to go for an auditioning process, and then got accepted, got into a callback process. And then it was like, okay, cool. And when you go through that, I guess that's when you realize how badly you wanted it. Because I was like, if I don't get accepted for law, I really won't be that affected. Like, I'll be so okay. Like, I'll be grand. But if I don't get into acting in the drama at either WITS or UCT, I would be shattered. And I think that was the decision made already. So yeah, I studied theater and performance, specializing in acting at UCT. So that's what I studied.
As a 9-year-old in such a big production, what are the nerves like?
I sometimes wish I could channel younger me's energy at certain points, because I sometimes get a little bit nervous now, but when I was younger, I did not understand the concept of being nervous. So not at all. Like, stage fright was never a thing, and that's how I knew that's for me. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, maybe as I got older, obviously I took it more seriously, but when I was younger, I was literally just having fun. But obviously, the older I get, the higher the stakes have gotten, I suppose. So because now I'm more intentional, I guess, with it, I do get a bit nervous. The only time I get nervous, obviously, is because I want it to go so well, because I know how much I've put into it. But yeah, I've always been like a large personality. I think if anything, I've calmed a little bit down. Like, I listen more now.
Your journey is very remarkable, and you are also big into fitness with collabs with Reebok and other brands. Does this tie in with your acting?
I think it only started tying in with my like acting like later on. I mean, I grew up in a very like health conscious, active household from both parents, also because my mom's very health conscious, very cautious of like what she eats, what she puts in her body, and all of those kind of things. I mean, my parents met at the gym when they were younger, and then my dad growing up, he was a personal trainer. So I think I've always just understood the value of like taking care of yourself from the inside out. So yeah, so I think that's what it mainly was. I mainly did it because, hey, we go to the gym, that's what we do. And then until obviously I realized what it was doing for me mentally as well, and how I feel when I don't train. Apart from the aesthetics, I mean everybody wants to be snatched, the body must give, but also what it does for me, like if I don't start my day with a workout, like I feel like my whole day is just like off its tracks. And also in performance as well, especially theater, not so much film, you need so much endurance and like stamina to get through, especially physically demanding productions. And I realized in drama school how important it was for me to maintain like an active life as well. It really, really helped me in my training and performances as well.
On the topic of physically demanding roles, have there ever been times where a role can become too mentally demanding and it negatively affects your mental health?
Let me tell you something about drama school. Let me tell you something about training in drama school. It's a bit crazy. I don't even want to lie. Like, the hours are ridiculous. Apart from the practical side, you also have the academic side. So there's a pressure from that as well. But in terms of the productions and the training and all of that, it is, the hours are insane. Your first class is at 8. You'll finish on campus at like 9. You have a submission that you have to get in the next day at 9. You're barely sleeping. And then you have to be back on campus the next day at 8 again. So there's that. In my third year, I got a role in our third year production. And it was a very physical play. It was physical theater and musical theater. So there was a lot going on. And I like to say I'm a recovering perfectionist. When you become a perfectionist, you sometimes rob yourself from the gifts of imperfection. I'm trying to, you know, just take life as it comes. So when I was a perfectionist, I wanted to make sure my grades were up. I wanted to make sure that I was hitting every beat on stage, making sure every piece of choreography it's done to its last move, and making sure that, you know, I'm never slacking, making sure I'm putting in overtime, rehearsing outside of the performances, getting my submissions in. So I've always just been very hard on myself. I think that's just how I operate as a person, because I mean, I just strive to do well. I am an anxious person. That's why I go above and beyond to make sure that I plan and I have my ducks in a row so that I can, you know, so that I don't have to stress and all of that. So yeah, so in my third year, I had that production. I was in rehearsals and I passed out mid-rehearsals. It was my time to speak. I said a line, mid-line, I'm speaking, and then it just went dark. And also, you need to take into consideration, with someone that's very hard on themselves and never wants to skip a beat, you can imagine how angry I was that I was on the floor at that point.
From the outside looking in, acting looks so peaceful, but I understand that there's so many things that go into the finished product. Another part of acting that I've always been very curious about is remembering your lines. How often do actors forget their lines when the cameras are actually rolling?
Oh my gosh, yes, it happens, but that's because you didn't prepare enough. Because if you've prepared enough, you never think of the lines ever again. Do you know what I mean? You need to prepare to the point where you don't even think of the lines. Like, it's so in you that you never, like, even think, oh my gosh, what do I say next? Because it'll show on your face, oh my gosh, what do I say next? It's happened before. I once was on set for like 12 hours and then I finished, I think, at like 12 a.m. My pickup time was at 4 a.m. that next day. So you can imagine, I slept for 2 seconds and then I had to wake up and be back on set, and I had, my scene was up first. So that whole scene, it was, what's my next line? So, I mean, after that day, obviously I made sure, because there's nothing as anxiety inducing as that. Even the most understanding director wants you to know your lines. There's some directors that are very true to script and they're like, I need you to say the script word for word. I mean, I've never come across those kind of directors, but they are. I think the last time I did was like in drama school. But in terms of film, a lot of them are just like, you know, you can take the line and make it your own, but you need to say what's in the script. Like, you can't just take the scene in your own direction. There's that, but also you need to say the same line every time you say it. Directors get frustrated because also in film, like, time is money. 1 hour overtime costs thousands and thousands and thousands, sometimes even like millions in the huge productions, because everyone has to get paid, and that's a lot. So if you are going to be slowing down the process, you are a liability.
The determination to these plays is honestly what fascinates me. Your first big movie gig was a horror movie called Pinky Pinky. May you walk us through how you got that role and what they tell you before you start shooting?
Oh man, I'll never forget that role. So I went in for the first audition and my mentor told me, you audition, you forget about the audition, you give it your all, and then you forget about it the minute you walk out of that room, because otherwise you'll drive yourself crazy. I go into the audition, there's three other girls, only to find out that I had actually already gotten the role. I was just going in for a chemistry reading. They were deciding on which role this other girl and I were going to get. And then I walked out of it, and then 2 days later my agent called me and she's like, you got the role. And you can imagine, that was like my first like proper role. I was like, ah, blows my mind. I was really, really excited. And yeah, and then true to my theater background, I went into the script reading, having highlighted everything, got my notes. And bear in mind, this is my first like professional thing. So most of us were like young and like my age, and I think three of us, it was our first biggish role, you know what I mean? So at least we held each other through that process, but they were like veterans, people that have done this for years. So you can imagine like imposter syndrome starts to kick in a little bit, because you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Like, I don't want to come on set. The director's like, oh my gosh, why did we give this person this role? I constantly had to remind myself that like, I didn't get the role by mistake. You know what I mean? Like, other people auditioned as well and I got the role. So go into every day like you earned that role. Don't constantly doubt yourself, because it's yours, and give it your best shot. Stage acting and film acting, they're the same but different, you know? It's not as big and as heightened and as, you know, dramatic. So I had to like dial it down. I need to learn that, you know, feel the emotion and it'll show on your face. Feel it, it'll show. You don't have to show it. And it was a beautiful process. It was a lot. It was my first time I did like back to back, like hours and hours and hours. I shot until like, I think the day before Christmas Eve. But yeah, it was such a beautiful process. Like, I'll be forever grateful for that production. It taught me so much. That's where I learned everything.
Including your Darth Vader voice?
Yes, yes, 100%.
And do you get the chance to watch the movie after everything's been cut and edited?
Yeah, so, I mean, we had a group and they were like, hey, it's premiering. We were supposed to, I think, watch it before, but we couldn't. So, yeah, it all went live and we were all at home. So there was no premiere or anything. We didn't get to do that, which is strange, but I mean, it is what it is. I didn't want to watch it for a little bit because I was scared. And even when I was watching myself, I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? What am I doing? That's why a lot of actors find it so hard to watch it.
Due to the nature of these films being horror movies, do you still see the horror aspect in the movie, knowing that there was a whole production team while this was being filmed?
There's no horror. I literally was watching it. I was like, oh, okay, that's going to happen now. If anything, I'm watching it to be like, oh, that's how they cut it. Okay, that's how they, okay. So that's the scene they decided to go with. Okay, cool. All right. Because also I knew the story, so I couldn't enjoy it. I was literally like, what did we do, guys? Let's see what we did.
So it doesn't create an opportunity for surprise?
At all. I knew what was happening.
With you being this multifaceted individual who does so much in her life, what's been the biggest lesson you've learned?
I think the biggest lesson that I've learned is that everything that I need is inside of me. Everything that I need to be successful is inside of me. Everything I need to do well, everything I need to get a role, earn a role, all inside of me. So everything I need is already here. I just need to acknowledge that. I need to see that. I need to trust it. And I need to just give it my all. And understanding that rejection is not, it's not a denial. It's literally just a not right now.
I remember reading something and it said that even the most successful people face rejection, but it's all about what you do after you've been rejected, because all it takes is one yes.
100%. You could have gotten a million no's and that one yes. I mean, I go for auditions every week. I have auditions all the time. Like, yes, fine. On the other side, you see the roles that I have gotten and all of that. But do you know how many roles I haven't? But also the important thing is like the work that you put in when no one is watching. That's what's important.
That's so true. And on the podcast, we have a signature question, which is, what does happiness mean to you? And you being in so many different industries and telling us a bit about the challenges you face, I'm very curious on your perspective with happiness.
Oh, happiness. For me, happiness means me waking up every single day and just doing what I love. That is what happiness is for me. Doing what I love and just living life with the people that I love. I think that's what's really, really important to me. And I mean, the life, fine. I mean, we aspire to getting this and this and this and this and this, but really, truly being surrounded by love, doing what I love, that's what happiness is to me. Everything else is a bonus. If I can wake up every single day and just perform, that is joy. That is joy for me. I think for right now, that's what it means. Waking up every day and doing what I love.
That's very powerful. And with that, I'd just like to say thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It was an absolute honor speaking to you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I've loved having the chats, and time went by so quickly.
Thank you.